gorgeous. Welcome to PlixWise's 2014 Oscar special. Unfortunately, Mr. Harris couldn't make it, so I'll be filling in as host today. My name is Lady P, no relation to Master P. And currently making her way up to the stage is America's sweetheart and frequent guest of the podcast. This is the first nomination and first win for Miss Anne-Marie Kelly.
You're just applauding for me because I tripped.
And wearing her brightest smile but seething in her seat is the hot new It girl. In her FlixWise debut, this is Miss Margaret Delarius.
Hello, I'm smiling through my tears.
Both of today's guests are writers for a website called The Film Experience, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is best known for its Oscar coverage, correct?
Correct.
All right, so you're both well-versed in Oscar punditry.
You could say that.
Yeah.
We have a lot of opinions.
Well, that should come in handy, because today we're going to talk about the ceremony. We're going to talk controversy and what the deal is with all the supposed snubbing. So I guess let's jump right into it. Why do we care about the Oscars? Do we care, first of all?
Well, I like to say, because I love movies in general and was raised on a huge swath of them from, you know, the early days, talkies, silence, etc., to the modern classics. And I really gravitated towards Oscar-blessed movies because I like that it's a finite universe of movie knowledge. And it's actually possible to have seen all of the Oscar-blessed movies or to know all of the Oscar-blessed movies, where if you talk about movies in general and what everybody, you know, everybody has a different list of things you have to have seen, it gets so much more nebulous, and it can be really nice to have a concrete framework to work with. And maybe that's just because I'm a completist, but that's why I like it.
Yeah, I appreciate a finite list of movies to watch. Personally.
Finite being 250.
What do you think of the track record, though, the Academy track record?
Well, and here's where I get into the fact that in undergrad, I wasn't film adjacent at all. I was a sociology major, and I think it's fascinating to look at what's honored, not as an infallible measure of what quality is represented in movies, but to see what the society or what the people we've deemed as the arbiters of movie quality decide is valuable and decide is worth celebrating in a given year. And you look at some of the trends decades ago and the trends now, and it's a nice little time capsule. And so as a, you know, cultural anthropologist, I think there's a lot to mine there.
Right. I think, okay, so it's more valuable as a sociological tool rather than as a metric for what is the best movie of the year.
I mean, that's my perspective, okay. But I'm coming at you from a very specific echelon of nerddom.
Yeah. I think that's accurate, and I think we spend a lot of time, even in retrospect, looking back and saying, was this the correct decision to make? Let's not forget the Citizen Kane, which is now number two on the list of best movies of all time.
I want to talk about
Yay Vertigo.
Yay Vertigo. Did not actually win Academy Awards.
Well, won one.
Won one, but not the... Yes. Yeah. Which it deserved, but that's a different point. I think it's just nice to have a measuring stick for the year, and it gives you a very good sense of what was going on at the time. Like, the 90s, we get all of those epics.
Yeah.
Dances with Wolves. Yeah. We gave Oscars to Dances with Wolves.
We sure did. Mel Gibson has a couple, I think.
Right? Bless his heart.
Yeah.
Yep. And actually, on the Film Experience, we do something called the Supporting Actress Smackdown, which I've participated in once and is a lot of fun. And it's going year by year and going back to a year and watching everything and going, do we think who won an Academy Award deserved that Academy Award? And, you know, it's all up in the air a lot of times.
Yeah. It's nice, too, to look back on a field of nominees and divorce them from the very specific context, the year context, the career context, and just look at the performances. Because, I mean, I think now more than ever, who wins is such a small fraction, the given performance, or it's about the performance, but it's so mired in that actor's career arc and the narrative that they build and the campaign, which is now a multi-million dollar industry. And to kind of look back on that years later or take that out of its time, it can be a fun exercise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get to this year then.
dun, dun, dun.
It's been kind of controversial to some people. It's notable because of all the snubbing, the supposed snubbing. the main one was Best Director, Ava DuVernay. Are we pissed off about that?
I mean, I'm pissed off about it mostly because and maybe this is just me, but did we all see the same Imitation Game? That looked a lot like just a well-produced BBC special. Like, I don't know why Morten Tildum is up there when... I mean, there are a lot of people who could have been on that list. Like, you look at the... He was given a source material and he directed it capably. Does he need to be on the Best Director list? I think what David Fincher did with Gone Girl is way more impressive because he took a pulp pop novel and really made it sing as a work of, you know, high genre,
right,
thriller. And Ava DuVernay, in my opinion, given the movies that I've seen, which admittedly is limited because I'm only one person, she would be on my short list. Yeah. But there are people who are snubbed every year. And I think it's interesting how the conversation has taken off this year because people have really been talking about the overwhelming whiteness of the nominees above and below the line and the overwhelming maleness of the nominees. But it's surprising to me partly because this is not a new problem, right, at all. And the statistics are just slightly more extreme this year. And I'm glad that it's prompting a conversation. But I think the problem is less that Selma wasn't nominated for more things, even though I thought it was a fine film. And it was honestly my favorite movie I've seen this year. And more that there aren't more movies being given that kind of funding, given that kind of attention, being produced at all, or also being recognized as quality films. I mean, last year there was a huge number of films produced by African-American writers and directors and centering on Black characters in complex and interesting ways. And a lot of them were just not even considered to be awards movies. And what we flag as that and what we evaluate with an eye on whether we should nominate for things, that is already so overwhelmingly white that just because that people didn't take the opportunity to nominate the one movie focused on Black characters that was in the race this year, I think the systemic problem is much more serious.
Right. And I think in a year like 2014, where even in the middle of the year, everybody was kind of looking around going, this is a good year for movies. Like, this is a solid year for movies, a solid year for movie diversity, a solid year for just movie quality. I think you're going to get more controversies just because everybody's got a favorite that they're gunning for.
Yeah.
That for one reason or another didn't get through. And I, too, really enjoyed Selma. I too, am disappointed that it didn't get on more shortlists. But on the other hand, now, as we mentioned, it's a multi-million dollar industry just getting movies nominated, and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff of just how poorly it was handled in that area affected it, which sucks, but again, goes back to our question of how the awards work.
Right, right. I mean, for me, it's hard to get worked up about a historical epic not getting nominated. It's so clearly an Oscar-baity movie. Had it not been directed by an African-American woman, I don't think it would have been notable, honestly. Like, I think it's a fine film, but the range of just the variety of films that were nominated for Best Picture this year, I think it's actually kind of a standout year, and it's remarkable. The Imitation Game notwithstanding.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It just, yeah, the direction was really not that impressive.
Yeah,
no,
not at all. Well, should we jump right into the categories?
Why not?
Since
Why
we're
not?
Already all there right, anyway. All right,
we got our ballots here. Here we go. Okay, so what we're going to do is go through the categories.
Okay.
And talk about what we think will win and what we think should win. And then if there's anything that is not on the list that didn't quite make the cut, I guess we can insert it in ourselves. We have the power. I guess we'll go top to bottom. Best Picture. We have American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. I think we're all pretty much in agreement. The Imitation Game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's the obvious choice.
I feel like in most years that would be the solid winner. That would be the front runner. But this year, it looks like Boyhood might be.
It does seem like Boyhood is on track to win, but the last couple major Guild Awards have given Birdman a strong showing. And mm-hmm. so I think that Best Picture is a little less wrapped up than some of the other categories, and certainly than it looked like a month ago. But I would predict it's still going to go to Boyhood, which is amazing if you think about it. This is the first Sundance movie to get this kind of traction. Whiplash also was a Sundance movie. Mm-hmm. And the fact that both of those are up for Best Picture, not just Best Picture, but multiple awards, and are both definitely going to go home with at least one Oscar is kind of fantastic.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And when I think about the career arc of Richard Linklater and his humble beginnings with Slacker, and now he's quite possibly going to be an Academy Award winner.
The Academy Award winning director of yeah. School of Rock. Yes.
Yes. I almost spit out my water.
Okay. All right. It's a great movie.
I love School of Rock. It was not a diss.
So, but is that, that's your pick?
Most likely, yes.
Okay. And what do you think should win?
Well, of the nominees, my two favorite movies of the year were Selma and Birdman. And I think everybody's favorite movie of the year says more about what they want out of a movie than it does about, you know, whether the movie was objectively better. And for me, I like movies that make me feel, and I'm not going to deny that I was weeping like a child for 50% of Selma. It's very finely put together, and it got me right in the feels, so.
I don't have a darling in this one. I can't actually choose.
Really?
Yeah. I always feel this way about Best Picture. I always sit there going, wow, those are a lot of really good movies, and like half of them are not movies I'm particularly interested in. If I was going to pick, like, just of my two darlings are the two that are getting the most press, actually, Boyhood and Birdman. And I think it would be fun if Wes Anderson started winning things. And I think he might, like, his traction mostly seems to be on the virtue of, oh my god, we haven't given Wes Anderson things yet.
Right.
Which, also, it's his first movie that touches on World War II, and yeah, you know yeah. how the Oscars love that.
I gotta say, The Imitation Game might be getting as far as it is just because it's like a persecuted minority and World War II, and we all know how the Academy loves both of those things.
And let's not undercount the fact that this is the only major horse Harvey Weinstein has in the race, and so that is going to get flogged.
Right. So is he launching a smear campaign, or has he launched a smear campaign against the other films?
He claims to not be responsible for negative campaigning. I don't know the man personally.
I don't even understand how that's possible. Like, this producer, is he threatening people? Is he sending naked pictures to
He might be. I mean, he's got a lot of unorthodox tactics, and he's been known for his big personality. He's the reason he's the only, like, campaign strategizer we can all name.
Yeah.
But he, first and foremost, knows how to get the attention of Academy voters. And that's the key. I mean, that's why I think he's the main reason we have the kind of campaigning season that we do, is because in the 90s, he figured out how to get to folks, and he was really on a tear, and everybody started trying to compete. There's less of a dramatic difference between the way he campaigns and other people campaign now, but he does push.
He does, yeah. And makes it harder for me to get really emotionally invested in these awards, even though a part of me does love the pomp and the ceremony and all the history behind it. But it's when you realize how little is of the awarding is based on merit and how much is actually just political, it's harder to care. But I can't seem to help myself every year.
Miracles still happen. Deserving yeah. people still win.
Yeah, and that's what makes it harder to believe that Boyhood might win. I mean, I feel like if it does, am I going to be on the wrong side of history?
It's the little movie that could.
No.
Was that your favorite movie of the year?
That was my favorite movie of the year.
Amazing.
I know.
It's nice when that happens.
Yeah, I'm going with Boyhood to win and should win. We'll see. Performance by an actor in a leading role. We have Steve Carell, Bradley Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, and Eddie Redmayne.
It's pretty much down to Eddie Redmayne and Michael Keaton, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and that one's going to be hard to predict. They both have the hooks that you usually see in the winner. Michael Keaton has the overdue card, the comeback card, the respected actor well into his career card, because in leading actor, they tend to wait until actors are at least in their 40s to reward them. And Eddie Redmayne's a little young for a winner, but he is, you know, playing a disability, he's playing a real person, and his narrative is actually very similar to Daniel Day-Lewis's when he won for My Left Foot. Yeah. Same age, similar qualities to the role. And so I could see, for the political reasons, it going either way. And I would give it to Michael Keaton, but I loved Birdman. That said, my three favorite male lead performances this year were not nominated.
Me too!
And what were yours?
Okay, well, my four favorite. I would have liked to have seen Timothy Spall nominated for Mr. Turner, Joaquin Phoenix for Inherent Vice, Ralph Fiennes for Grand Budapest, and then we have, I imagine, the big one that was snubbed, David Oyelowo. Did I say that right?
Oyelowo.
Why? Why am I so bad at that?
Well, his name isn't on the ballot.
It's true. So, yeah, it's hard for me to get super worked up about this category. I guess of the bunch, my favorite is Michael Keaton. And I think he's going to pull it out.
My, I think, favorite performance of the year was Jake Gyllenhaal in Nightcrawler.
Really? And that's right.
Oh, man. Nominated. That movie... My soul needed a shower afterwards in the worst way, but he was mesmerizing. Yeah, yeah. And then Ralph Fiennes and David Oyelowo. So somebody deserving is probably going to win, but Best Actor, they don't have a hard time finding a lot of deserving candidates because so many movies are made about men.
It's true. Hey. Which transitions nicely to the next category.
Yes.
Performance by an actress in a leading role.
Okay.
Marion Cotillard, 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones in The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl, and Reese Witherspoon in Wild.
Does anybody not think this is going to Julianne Moore?
I don't think so.
Not even sort of.
No one wants to take that bold stance.
This is even more of a like cinch than Cate Blanchett winning for Blue Jasmine last year. Like, everybody knows she's going to win, and I'm happy for it because, yeah, Julianne
she
Moore.
Is way overdue.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen Still Alice, but in terms of the caliber of the reviews, it seems to be deserved. Not that I can comment on that specifically, but the overdue card is definitely what's carrying her to the podium.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like she's never not good. So it feels kind of arbitrary to reward her for this, but why not?
Why not?
Is this the true grit win for Julianne?
Probably,
the true grit win. John Wayne, finally won Best Actor.
Yep.
Performance by an actor in a supporting role.
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall.
I love Robert Duvall, don't get me wrong, but...
The judge? Yeah. Everybody hated the judge. I'm pretty sure Robert Duvall hated the judge.
Yeah.
You could tell Robert Downey Jr. hated the judge, so I didn't do any damn press for it.
Yeah. And yet, somehow, he's been... nominated before, so he must be nominated again.
He's been nominated a ton of times.
Yeah,
but it's J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons.
So, well, it's Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
And it's definitely going to J.K. Simmons.
It's definitely going to J.K. Simmons.
But can we agree that other than Robert Duvall, what a category.
I know, this is the strongest category.
The other four performances, all I would be so happy to see any of them win an Oscar.
An actor in a supporting role is not usually such a strong category.
Oh my God, can we talk about 2 years ago when it was like nobody could decide who to vote for because, well, I guess we could give it to Tommy Lee Jones and Lincoln. Or we could give it to Christoph Waltz and Django Unchained. I guess we'll give it to him. Who else was even nominated? Everybody seemed so unenthused. This year is fabulous.
Yes. But I will say my favorite supporting performance was not nominated. Damn you, Robert Duvall, Josh Brolin in Inherent Vice.
And I still need to see that.
To see that.
I do. I am a huge PTA fan.
Okay.
I'm a completist other than this one, so... Got to get on that.
Get on that. Well, all right. You can report back.
I will.
Okay. Performance by an actress in a supporting role. We have Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, and Meryl Streep for Into the Woods.
I have said this before. I will say this again. Meryl Streep sneezes and gets an Academy Award.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I really love Meryl Streep.
We are all card-carrying Meryl fans here, I am sure.
Yes.
But she was not the best performance in Into the Woods.
And I think it denigrates her overall, like, when she turns in a performance that is deserving, and it doesn't mean anything, almost, because getting awards for it is just, it just happens. And I don't think she deserved to be there.
Nope.
At all. And I'm honestly kind of surprised that Emma Stone has had such an easy walk to it. She's gotten nominated in every major thing. But she was good in Birdman, but I don't even think she was the best female performance in that movie.
Yeah, I actually didn't like her in that movie.
A sucker for Andrea Riseborough in that.
Yeah, she was good.
Her part was tiny, but she was amazing.
I didn't see the deer.
The way she shoves Michael Keaton's hand down her pants and then slaps him across the face and then waltzes away. She walked away with the whole movie for me.
So what we're saying, I think, is that this is a strange year for supporting actors.
Yes.
My favorite supporting did not get on here.
Who? Tilda Swinton and Snowpiercer.
Ah, yes.
Tilda!
Oh, man. Just amazing.
Just give Tilda something. Like, if you're not going to do that, at least if everybody seemed to love Grand Budapest Hotel, give it to her for Grand Budapest. Like, she was great in both. I thought she was amazing in Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm. It's such a memorable character. I mean, that's what you should be rewarding, especially in supporting actor or actress. It's like the people who make so much of a little screen time, a little script time. Like, she's the most memorable part of the movie, and compared to her total screen time, that's impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, Rene Russo in Nightcrawler.
Mm, yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. Why isn't she here?
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica Chastain in Most Violent Year.
Right.
This was very disrespectful.
Just amazing. So good. So spot on.
So they just kind of missed the mark this year.
Totally missed
like.
The mark. Yeah. And I say that as somebody who is one of the few people who seems to really like Keira Knightley.
I loved her in The Imitation Game. I didn't used to be that big of a fan. She made the movie better. She breathed life into it, you know? Every time, the first scene she showed up in, when she rushes into the exam room, it started to feel like there were people in it instead of just like the, you know, finger puppets of the BBC special. It's sounding like I hate The Imitation Game. I don't, but I just, it struggles under the weight of all of the accolades piled on.
So keep Laura Dern, Patricia Arquette, and Keira Knightley, and toss Emma Stone and Meryl Streep is the sense I'm getting from us.
Yeah. Well, I would toss Keira Knightley too, personally. But
I mean, there are people who I would probably put on my ballot before her.
Yeah.
But I am probably, like, if we were going to toss two people, I would keep her.
Okay. All right.
That said, it's going to Patricia Arquette.
Yes. And
easy peasy.
Deservedly.
And deservedly so.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So good.
The way she created a consistent character from the first year that they filmed with a believable arc and no damn screenplay. Yeah. How?
Yep.
How?
Yeah. Yep. And Ethan Hawke, we didn't talk much about him, but he was fantastic.
So good.
Okay, so next we have... let's do Best Animated Feature Film. We have Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, and The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. Thoughts?
It looks like it's probably going to go to How to Train Your Dragon 2, just because they're launching a serious campaign, and let's face it, DreamWorks needs a win right now. Oh. They're struggling.
Are they?
They just
did massive
layoffs.
Yeah. Anyway.
My favorite, again, I haven't seen that many of these, but gotta plug Song of the Sea. It's tiny. Almost nobody has seen it. Mm-hmm. It is wonderful from start to finish. Every frame is like a Klimt painting come to life. Everybody should watch it. I love it.
Yeah.
We know what I'm going to say, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why is the Lego movie not on this? Why is the Lego movie not on this? Just drop Big Hero 6. It was fine. It was pretty, but the Lego movie's better. I don't even need it to win. I just wanted it to be on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It's hard for me to get super worked up about it, even though I know it was one of your favorite movies of the year. It was in your top five, right?
I was saturated with this movie this year, and I still liked it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but it's hard for me to get worked up about, like, a big studio release, if the Lego Movie omission made room for Song of the Sea.
And The Tale of Princess Kaguya. Yeah.
That's true. If it was going to bump something off, it probably wouldn't bump off Big Hero 6, which it could have and should have.
Yeah. But... Yeah, I think How to Train Your Dragon 2 is probably the shoe-in for that.
Can I say one thing that'll make me happy, though, if How to Train Your Dragon 2 wins?
Yeah.
Is that it'll be the first animated movie with a gay character that wins best Oscar. Yeah. Aww. Best animated feature.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
So that would make
one
me
more
happy.
Reason to root for it. For sure.
Save DreamWorks and support LGBTQ.
It's a no-brainer, guys. Vote How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay, achievement in cinematography. We have Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Ida, Mr. Turner, and Unbroken. tough category.
Is this the part where I get to say, where is Selma? Where is it?
Where is it?
Bradford Young is a genius. Ugh. All of the scenes on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, every scene of the many scenes in the church, that one exchange between Coretta Scott King and Malcolm X where they're lit by the stained glass window, I almost cried again.
He's an incredible cinematographer. He also did A Most Violent Year this year. He's been kind of all over the place, so hopefully his is coming. But yeah, way to drop the ball, guys. Like,
yeah,
it's a good category. Like, it's a good cinematography category this year. It really is. But that said, I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, but I don't know who I would take off. To be honest.
Yeah,
Roger Deakins.
He's their Susan Lucci.
That's true.
They never want to give him a damn Oscar, but damned if they're going to leave him off the list. I love him, and he should have had it for Skyfall and any number of other movies, but. I haven't seen Unbroken, so I can't weigh in.
That's it is a really, really good category this year. I am genuinely excited for this category to see who wins this year. And
pretty sure it's going to be Lubezki again, right?
Probably, yeah.
And he deserves it. If anybody's going to have back-to-back cinematography Oscars, Chivo is deserving.
True. Very true.
But of the films that are nominated, who should win?
I would say either... Dick Poop, excuse me, I mean Pope. Throwback to the flub Cheryl Boone Isaacs made on nomination morning. You know what he said in response to that? People asked him what he thought. I've been called worse. Yeah, either Dick Pope for Mr. Turner or Lubezki for Birdman. Yeah. Because, oh my God, the lighting in Mr. Turner.
Beautiful. Yep. Beautiful. Yep. That's my hands down favorite. So beautiful. All right, we think Birdman... Lubezki, gonna take it?
I think so.
Okay. Good year for cinematography. Okay. Achievement.
Good year, guys. Good year.
Yeah, solid. Yeah.
Bravo.
Go 2014. Achievement in directing. We have Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and The Imitation Game.
Boo.
Boo.
Sorry. I've decided I'm just gonna lean into this whole hating on The Imitation Game thing. It's working for me.
That's fine.
Poor Martin. You're going to get letters.
He'll survive.
Yeah.
He's a white dude.
Yeah, he'll get another movie.
Okay, so what do we think? Who will win? Who should win?
It's going to Linkletter.
Yeah, it's going to Linkletter.
Really? You seem very certain of that. Inarritu?
I mean, I would be happy with a win from either of them. I would also be really happy with a win for Wes Anderson, mostly because have you seen that man try to accept an award?
He's so cute.
He is so shy.
It's great.
Oh man. So yeah, that was a great moment, the Golden Globes.
It's like, see? Little askew tie.
Oh, bless him. Yeah, so I want him to win for that reason, but Linkletter and Inarritu would both be very deserving.
Yeah. I can't believe Richard Linkletter is a front runner for Best Director for an Oscar. That it blows my mind.
2014 was a good year.
It was a good year. Good year. Okay, I'm going with Boyhood, too, so I think we have some consensus on that. Documentary feature.
This is the first year I've seen none of the nominees.
Okay. Yeah, Citizen Four, Finding Vivian Mayer, Last Days in Vietnam, The Salt of the Earth, Virunga.
There's no excuse for not seeing Virunga, though.
I know, it's on Netflix.
I know,
but that won't stop us from talking about it, right? Making our predictions.
Does it seem most likely to be Citizen Four?
It does.
It's the one that's most talked about. Yeah.
It's the one that's most talked about. It's the one that, you know, the Academy gets occasionally... high horse political, and it'll allow them to do that safely.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they won't have a Michael Moore situation. And I think it's Citizen Four.
Yeah. That seems... Again, that's the one people have heard of.
Yeah. And all the main other contenders didn't make the short list. Other than the high-profile ones.
Yeah.
If Life itself was up for it, we might have a draw, but...
What happened there?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Achievement in costume design.
I love this category. My actual favorite thing to watch for fashion-wise at the Oscars is what the costume designers are wearing.
Oh, they
wear
some doozies.
Always fantastic. Anyway.
So, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, that's my vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, Maleficent, and Mr. Turner. I think we can all agree. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah. Right?
It's such a great mix of period design and... you know, fantastical impulses, because it's so clearly not taking place in real World War II era Europe, and yet the details so carefully recall that, and so many memorable designs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And such a great marriage of character to costume.
Yeah.
But not in a overstated Into the Woods kind of way. And that, since this is my only opportunity to say it, I hated Maleficent. I hated Maleficent. I hated Maleficent. I hate that it's now Academy Award nominated. Okay, I'm done.
At least it didn't get nominated for art direction.
God, I just... Are we over the whole desaturated color palette thing now? Can that stop being a thing?
Don't hold your breath. Yeah.
All right. Now, the next category on this ballot thing that I printed out is Best Documentary Short Subject.
I didn't see any. Did anybody else?
Nope.
Okay.
But I think the front runner at this point I hear is Crisis Hotline, Veterans Press One.
Good to know. Good to
That's
know.
What I hear.
For
I
your
know.
For your pool at work,
exactly,
Oscar pool.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that could change. We have Best Animated Short Film. I hear Feast is the one to beat.
It's so cute. Yeah. They showed it before Big Hero 6. Okay. I enjoyed it more than Big Hero 6. So, and I liked Big Hero 6. I just don't think... Anyway.
Yeah.
Feast is adorable. I'd be happy with it winning.
Okay. So I think that that's the front runner again, because I think that's the one people have seen.
Yep. Because it was before Big Hero 6.
Exactly. Best Live Action Short Film. I hear it's The Phone Call.
Yeah, it's because it's got Sally Hawkins in it.
Okay.
Sally Hawkins.
We all love Sally so much. This is a very pro Sally Hawkins table.
Yes. Official pro Sally Hawkins
table. I hear there are people who don't like Sally Hawkins.
What? No, there
but,
aren't. No, there aren't. They must not be people.
Yeah, no.
They don't actually exist.
We don't associate with them.
Certainly not.
I've never met one. Okay. Achievement in film editing.
Mm.
American Sniper. Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, and Whiplash.
Okay, can I just say, where is Birdman? Where is it?
Well,
where the hell is Birdman?
There wasn't a whole lot of cutting in that movie.
The fact that you couldn't tell that there was cutting is why it should be on this list.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, okay with it.
The Imitation Game Birdman.
Well,
I'm not saying it should win. I'm just saying, like, looking at this category, you'd think it was a... not that great of a year.
I mean, I guess it depends on what you how you gauge what good editing is. Like, to me, the flashiest editing is Whiplash
in this
category.
And it was good.
Yeah, it was great. But I think Boyhood is likely to take it, which is interesting because there are a lot of long takes in that film. But in many ways, the story is shaped by the editing.
Yeah,
in the same
film.
Way a documentary is, I would agree. Because they probably had 10 times as much footage as they needed, and to pull a story out of that, I mean, that is almost as much the editor's as it is Richard Linklater.
Right? Yeah, in terms of thinking of editing as, like, molding the structure of the film, I think that it absolutely should go to Boyhood, and also in that case... I definitely really would have bumped The Imitation Game.
Yeah.
Nobody here likes
Actually,
The Imitation
like,
Game.
Clunky edits in that
Well,
one.
And done Gone Girl instead.
Yeah. But enough beating up on The Imitation
Game. Well, I think we've run out of... Oh, no, we have a couple of more chances to talk about how much we don't like
The
Imitation Game.
I like the score.
Okay.
I love Alexander Desplat, though.
Okay. Best Foreign Language Film of the Year. We have Ida, Leviathan, Tangerines, Timbuktu, and Wild Tales.
Yeah.
Ida,
it's,
I think.
Ida's gonna
you think?
Take it in a walk.
What about Leviathan?
I liked Leviathan. I think Ida has a lot going for it. It came out in March and actually was a modest art house hit. And it's on both Amazon Prime and Netflix. It's probably going to have by far the most people having seen it. Not just because it's on those platforms, because it's 80 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And the story, it's beautifully filmed and beautifully acted and put together in a really nice way, but it's also a very simple story. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially when you consider that every Academy member gets to vote on every category, even the folks who don't usually make a habit of consuming foreign films on the reg, I think Ida's got it in a walk.
Okay. All right. I mean, I'm not, no complaining. That was one of my favorite movies of the year, so... I'm surprised Force Majeure didn't make the cut.
It was a surprising omission.
And
yeah,
the
like...
director was very surprised.
It was, I think, the only movie other than Ida that took any of the precursor prizes in that category. So,
yeah.
That said, I'm glad to see Wild Tales on the list because it's produced by my hero, Pedro Almodovar.
Yeah, it is.
So maybe that's the dark horse. Maybe that, I mean, that could be the upset.
Who knows? Mm.
Almodovar isn't enough of an Academy presence, though.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how few of his movies have actually shown up in the category, partly because Spain doesn't often choose them as its submission.
Mm. Achievement in makeup and hairstyling. We have Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Guardians of the Galaxy.
This is such a like perfect microcosm of exactly what makeup and hairstyling tends to nominate.
Yeah. Apparently that nose, the prosthetic nose, made Foxcatcher worthy of a Best Makeup nomination.
Yeah. And the hair. Okay. The hair that they did on Ruffles, though, it worked.
Okay.
It
worked. All right.
No, it's
Mark Ruffalo. Ruffles. I'm sorry.
Okay, but who, I think,
I don't know. I can never predict this category.
It's odd. It's an odd one. I think it should go to Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, but I think it might go to Guardians just because with these categories, it's like most makeup.
Yeah,
that's you know, true.
Often goes to best.
Most.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's true of a lot of the categories.
That's true. Yeah.
Most score.
Right. Exactly.
Most acting.
Yes. Yes. Speaking of scores, achievement in music written for motion pictures. So this is original score: The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Interstellar, Mr. Turner, and The Theory of Everything.
I think it's gonna go to Hans Zimmer.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Desplat is going to, like, split his own vote.
Because he's nominated for both Budapest and The Imitation Game.
Yeah. Right. And I think those are, like, the two big... It's an opinion.
I don't know. I think The Theory of Everything is going to take it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Doesn't it have kind of a dominant score?
I think so. I don't know. To me, this category seems pretty weak. None of the scores were special. I mean, I guess the Hans Zimmer score was memorable, but it was pretty divisive. So I don't know if they're going to give it to that. And The Theory of Everything, I think that's the front runner. I believe, didn't it win the Golden Globe?
Yes.
Yes.
So based on that, I'd say that's going to take it. Achievement in music written for motion pictures. The original song, Everything is Awesome, from the Lego Movie, Glory, Selma. Grateful, Beyond the Lights. I'm Not Going to Miss You. Glen Campbell, I'll Be Me. Lost Stars, Begin Again.
I mean, can anything beat Glory in this category?
No,
this is their one opportunity to reward Selma, because we all know it's not going to take Best Picture, and it's the only place where it's nominated, but it's got so much going for it. Currently popular artists, message song, incredibly emotionally powerful moment in the movie, moment being the credits, but it's for real. And
So Everything is Awesome is the should win, right?
No. Glory. I'm fine with Glory winning. Glory.
Okay. Achievement in production and design. I think this is a shoo-in. I could be wrong. But The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Interstellar, Into the Woods, and Mr. Turner.
Mr. Turner.
I think it's going to be Grand Budapest Hotel.
I mean, even if they were just going on most production design, that would still be.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a category that an Anderson movie was going to win in, it would be production design.
And it's somehow the first time his production design has been nominated.
That's
crazy.
Is bizarre.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I mean, other than Fantastic Mr. Fox, which was nominated in animated feature film, none of his movies were nominated anywhere but in screenplay previously.
Yep.
Just crazy.
Bananas. Just crazy.
Bananas.
Achievement in sound editing.
I don't know anything about sound editing. Sound editing and sound mixing, y'all weigh in.
Okay, we have American Sniper, Birdman, The Hobbit. I guess The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, lest we confuse it with Smog or whatever the other ones are, and Interstellar and Unbroken.
Yeah.
I'm told American Sniper is going to take this.
Yeah. They always like the action movies in this category, which is legitimate because mixing and editing action is tough. I'm surprised, actually, that Godzilla isn't in there because it had really, really good sound design. And we don't have a clear winner like we did last year. I think it's between American Sniper and Interstellar.
Okay.
But I think it's going to go to American Sniper.
And more prestige.
And more bullet sounds. It's not an argument against. It's really difficult to mix those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, for sound mixing, we have American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, and Whiplash.
Almost the same category.
Almost
the same category. And usually whatever wins editing also wins mixing.
Mm. It's weird that Whiplash was not nominated for editing, but I feel like that should take mixing. Were you able to distinguish the different tempos? And
no, but no. I'm not a music person.
Yeah.
I'm not a music person. And I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. I still say it's going to go to American Sniper for both.
Okay, American Sniper for both. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, safe money is on American Sniper. Achievement and visual effects. We have Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Interstellar, and X-Men Days of Future Past.
So the most prestige-adjacent choice for this would probably be Interstellar.
Yeah.
But do they often... Does this usually correspond to the highest box office? In that case, it would go to Guardians.
Yeah, this is a weird category, because this is, again, a year that we don't have a big blockbuster-y somewhere in the top 10, that or somewhere in Best Picture that would tell us mm-hmm. which it's going to. So, prestige-adjacent would be, yeah,
Interstellar.
But, on the other hand, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, they did so much press on how they did the visual effects, and it has actually changed so dramatically how motion capture is performed. That ingenuity alone could give it to them.
Okay.
It is actually legitimately really cool. They're now able to do motion capture out in the quote-unquote real world.
That is cool. I mean, is it that different from Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
It is, okay.
Because they had to do all of the... Basically, the way that motion capture has been done for a really long time is that you would basically shoot it twice. You would shoot it once in the location and then once in a controlled space with the actors in all of the motion cap suits. For the first time for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, they were actually able to put the actors in the motion capture suits outside in the location so that they could interact with their space.
It's pretty cool.
It's very cool. And they've been pushing really hard on that fact.
And if you know that much trivia about it, that's a sign that their campaign is being effective.
Well, I also attended a lecture on it.
Well, that'll help.
But I hope it goes to that. I hope that it goes to that for that reason, because since this is very clearly an integral part of the of how movies are made now, I think that that should be rewarded.
Sure, yeah.
That said, Guardians of the Galaxy is really shiny, and this is a category that's very much about shiny.
Yes. And but that wormhole in Interstellar was really cool. I'm not big on Nolan, but I gotta give it up for that wormhole.
Sure.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of Star Trek wormholes. None of them are as cool as that wormhole.
Relativity, I think, helps in this case.
Yeah, exactly. adapted screenplay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Here we have American Sniper, The Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. What is Whiplash doing in there?
Is it based on something?
So, here's the thing. This is complicated because it campaigned in original screenplay. Because there was a short film that existed beforehand, but the argument is the screenplay was written as a whole first, and then they made the short film based on the screenplay that exists now in the feature-length movie purely to get funding. But because often movies that come out as a feature-length after a short film has been produced and seen by other people get categorized as adaptations of that short film, the Oscar website had that listed as adapted. And so there was confusion about whether it would show up in either category because it was campaigning as original. And so we should just be glad it's in there at all.
Okay.
Or at least Jamie and Chazelle should.
Yeah.
And what category it's in is odd, but I have to say it elevates the quality of the adapted screenplay nominees.
Not a lot of great choices here.
Not a lot of great choices.
Actually, I mean, one of my favorite.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
He should take it in a walk, but he doesn't have a shot.
I don't think so, yeah.
But I just don't want to live in a world where an Oscar goes to the movie that, we had so many form-busting biopics this year.
Yep. Yeah.
And The Imitation Game was so by the book. It was so by the book. It was like, here's this man who's like, just a little bit off-center, but so cool. Flashback to his childhood. Flashback to now. Flashback to his childhood. It's the people nobody imagines anything of. They do the things no one can imagine.
Oh my God.
The first time he said it, I was like, that line is so
down.
You know why I remembered it? Because they said it three times.
It's a mouthful, though. They thought it was really clever.
Really clever coming out of the mouth of a 16-year-old to his, like, bullied 16-year-old friend. I'm sorry, do people talk like that?
No.
They don't.
Oh, yeah, man. That was pretty painful.
That line was honestly what broke the movie for me.
I think
the second time I heard it, I was like, is this happening again? And then the third time I heard it, I was I was so done.
you should just subtitle this podcast, We Hate the Imitation Game.
Oh, now I feel like a meanie.
I mean, I feel like
we all agree with you.
Yeah, but to be fair, I mean, we're all beating up on The Imitation Game, but The Theory of Everything is just as guilty of using all of these same biopic tropes.
Yeah.
Bad cliches.
Yeah, and I don't know, I have probably equal contempt for both, or just not even, just sort of feel meh about both of them.
And I'm kind of surprised that they ended up in so many categories, because I've heard that sentiment coming from a lot of people. They're like, well, it's an awardsy movie, and that's kind of what I was talking about at the beginning, is like, these movies about famous white people just take it in a walk, because everyone's like, oh, well, it's about a famous white person, it must be awardsy, and it's right. Like, can we think outside the bun a little bit here?
Yeah, and the Academy does love its tortured geniuses, and there's two of them, and yeah. One of them is persecuted because he's gay, and yeah. God knows the Academy loves that, too.
But not yeah. too gay.
But not too gay.
Not right. too gay. Right.
He's gay, he's... but he...
just gay enough. A subtle hint of gay.
He doesn't actually sleep with anybody, right, so he's not right. actively gay.
Oh, right. No, because you can't have that.
No.
No. Fully clothed and just persecuted.
And looks like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right. Of course. Is that a good thing? His running form in that movie, that scene where he's like charging down the thing, his arms were just flailing in the most ludicrous way. And I was like, is one of the subplots supposed to be that he can't run? Is anybody going to comment on this? He had major T-Rex arms. I was like, is this your form of relaxation, this exercise? What are you doing? Sorry, I had to get that off my chest. I haven't really had an opportunity to talk about that.
I feel better.
But it's stuck.
Maybe that's probably why they were picking on him.
Maybe.
That could be it.
Maybe they saw him.
You would have joined in, wouldn't you?
I would have silently judged. Yeah. I'm not a bullying type.
Oh my god.
Oh dear. All right.
I'm okay. I'm fine.
I'm sorry. After I've derailed the conversation.
Let's hope it goes to Whiplash.
Let's hope it goes to Whiplash, because I think the agreement is Inherent Vice doesn't have a prayer.
Probably not. Should go to Inherent Vice, will probably go to Whiplash or possibly The Imitation Game. But Safe Money is on.
Save Money's probably on The Imitation Game.
Yeah, probably.
They do love giving things to Clint Eastwood. Oh, no, Jason Hall wrote the screenplay. Never mind. Mm. If they don't have the opportunity to give something to Clint Eastwood, then...
Yep.
Then I don't worry about American Sniper taking it.
Nope.
Original screenplay.
Birdman. Boyhood. Foxcatcher. The Grand Budapest Hotel. And Nightcrawler.
I wanted to go to Nightcrawler.
Okay.
I would probably give it to Nightcrawler.
Okay.
It's such a good screenplay. Also, it's the only place Nightcrawler is nominated, and it was one of my favorite movies.
Exactly. Okay. I have that feeling, too. Also, just because Nightcrawler in my brain is inextricably linked to Network. Mm-hmm. And so I just want one time for the mean movie about how media works to get its proper due.
That being said, what will win?
Boyhood, probably.
You think Boyhood's going to get it?
It won... a lot of the precursor awards, yeah. Which doesn't make any sense, to be honest.
Yeah.
And again, said as a Boyhood fan, I think it absolutely deserves an editing Oscar. It deserves a directing Oscar. It would be a very worthy Best Picture winner, but screenplay?
Yeah, seems odd. Are we sure Grand Budapest Hotel isn't going to take it? Yeah.
You know, actually, yeah. I think it might, now that you say it, because this is sort of Wes Anderson's moment,
yeah.
And because it's been proven over the past decade that screenplay is the one place that even before this movie they were willing to acknowledge him and acknowledge his gifts. That's the category he's been present in, even with his very left of Academy Center movies. And I think that's kind of where they tend to reward these didn't ever have a prayer of winning Best Picture movies, like her winning Best Original Screenplay last year. Django Unchained winning Best Original Screenplay 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So looking at the recent history of the category, it makes me think that Grand Budapest Hotel is a better shot. But they love Birdman, and it was a great screenplay.
It was a great screenplay.
Well, pretty sure Nightcrawler doesn't have a prayer.
Probably
sad
not.
Sad to say.
I usually think of original screenplay as the winner of Best Original Screenplay is usually my favorite movie of the year, or that's usually, if my favorite movie of the year has a shot, it's usually going to be in that category.
It was certainly the case with me last year.
What was it?
Her?
Yeah. Okay.
Her and 12 Years a Slave are my favorite.
Okay.
It was a good year for me.
It was a good, solid. Both excellent films. So, and since Wes Anderson has been nominated before, I'm going to say this is his year.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's it.
Is that it?
Where you went through all of them.
Boom. Look at that. All right. Any final thoughts?
I am so excited for the Oscars because I am every year, and I'm planning my Oscar party dishes, and I think the thing I'm most proud of is going to be Whiplash drumsticks, but nice. Like jerk seasoned drumsticks with inherent spice.
Oh!
You're welcome.
That's brilliant.
Okay. Emery, any final thoughts?
2014 was a great year for a film. I keep saying that. Yeah. I'm never going to stop saying that.
Yeah. It's true.
And obviously not all of what was great about it was or could be acknowledged by the Academy, and that's too bad. But I think the discussion about what didn't get in has been as valuable and interesting as what did get in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
And I think the fact that this conversation stemmed after the nominations is probably at least as good for Ava DuVernay as a nomination would have
been. Sure, absolutely.
Because now everybody's looking at her and looking at her work, and she's got the moment
to pick projects. As it happens, we're looking at her work right now on the Film Experience.
That's right. Anne-Marie just started a new series called Women's Pictures, looking at the works of a different female director every month. And this month, we're starting with Ava DuVernay because it's very topical leading up to the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. Going through all of her features, all three of them so far.
All right, well, I'll make sure to include a link in the show page.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. And that's the way we frame it, Flixwise, that is. Do you like us? Do you really like us? Well, then prove it by hitting the little thumbs up button on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Flixwise. You can follow me on Twitter. The handle is @Flixwise. And if you enjoyed listening to this and you think maybe we deserve a little recognition, I know there's one way you can give us our due. Well, they aren't handing out Oscars for achievement in podcasting yet. You can rate us and leave us a comment in iTunes. And really, who wants a statue when you can have a good rating in iTunes? Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell that to the Lego Movie.
Before they play us off, I just want to let everyone know that next time we will be back on Sight and Sound Duty with Andrei Tarkovsky's Andrei Rublev. We've had our fun, now it's time for serious Soviet cinema, which is fun in its own way, right? Okay, the guests are itching to get to the after party, so I'd better go. It's cool, guys. Elton told me he'd wait for us. Until next time, Margaret, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Anne-Marie. Pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure.
Okay. And just really quickly, I have a message for all the little kids out there. I've been told they'll never amount to anything. To those who've been dealt a terrible hand in life. You know, all the child brides and indentured servants. To all you disfigured, hideous monstrosities roaming the earth. Let this gold-plated hunk of metal that I've just won be a beacon of hope in your life. Let it stand as proof that dreams really can come true. Thank you.
It's the people no one imagines anything of. They do the things that no one can imagine.